At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Thanks for joining us. Fox and his friends are not experts. Take these opinions as you will. Perhaps it is satire, perhaps not. There are two kinds of people, those who believe us, and those who continue to enjoy being lied to. But I'll tell you this. The military-industrial complex doesn't care about us. We need to stop sending our children to war, to die for bankers and corporations. The medical-industrial complex want to keep us sick and weak. Stop taking their poison. The education system is merely an indoctrination program designed to produce obedient workers. The media is a propaganda machine pushing an agenda coordinated by a few men who own every channel and network. Enjoy the show. You are listening to The Conspiracy Soldiers.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. What's up, Julio?
What up, everybody? What's up, Fox?
Shit. It's 5:28 p.m. Another normal episode. The fuck's going on around here?
It's January, Happy New Year.
January 3rd, 2025. I'm trying to make sure I said the year right.
I still ain't writing it right.
Right.
I just went to the damn bank the other day and I wrote 2024.
Yep. So what's going on?
Nothing. I just got home. We went out to eat. We went to a Central American restaurant. Mexican restaurant. Yeah, Central American. And they had like Nicaraguan food. And it was good. It was awesome. I mean, it's kind of cool to go someplace and be able to find that kind of food fare.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as good as my mom's.
Yeah, it never is.
Yeah. So, but I do recommend it. If you ever want to try some of the dishes that are Central American, not just Nicaraguan, but they do have a very good selection. It's located at Hill and Burn. Yeah.
What's it called?
El Centroamericano. Central American.
Okay.
Yeah.
Straight to the point, I guess.
Straight to the point. We don't fuck around. But dude, they had a nice little waitress in there. She was definitely nice and meaty in the back.
Okay.
And so I found out she's Venezuelan.
So oh, yeah?
She's not even Central American. She's from Venezuela.
Yeah. Hey, people got to work, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to put that back to work, that's for sure.
Maybe all the Central Americans are back in the kitchen. Right?
The wetbacks are back in the kitchen.
All right, well.
Hey, so what was up with that damn... So New Year's Eve... The non-communicative Fox decides to start a group chat with all these fucking conspiracy theory motherfuckers.
Yeah, a lot of them didn't know each other. It's all people that have been on the show, right? I was drunk and I was being lazy. I'm like, hey, wait. I'll just do a group chat. That way I can just say Happy New Year's. Once.
And then it got out of control.
Not really. I mean, between you and another guy, I almost got on there and texted like, hey, why don't you two just get a room? Motherfuckers are trying to sleep.
It's always the same. It's always the same guy. I know who it is.
No, it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I stopped.
At one point,
I stopped responding.
At one point, I looked at my phone and I'm like, it was like 100 and some messages. I was like, what?
Yeah. And I'm sure there was a couple people on there that were just irritated as fuck. So I just stopped responding. I'm like, oh, man, I was being drunk. I actually, someone texted me outside of the group chat. And he's like, yeah, I just kind of, I don't know everybody. So I just kind of lay low. And I'm like, yeah, that's how I do it, too. I said, that was kind of a bad idea. I was just being drunk and lazy. And... But, oh, well, it all worked out.
Yeah, I like the spun on my name, Julio, J-E-W.
Yeah. Well, you know who that was.
Yeah, I know who that was.
Let's see here. Let's see if I got anything. No.
The center was supposed to call in and leave a voicemail.
Yeah. Well, we don't have any voicemail. I was just double checking. Okay, so when you went to the Central American restaurant, did they have drinks?
Nothing alcoholic. They just had traditional, like, what they would call like agua frescas, like a cacao drink, agua de Jamaica, which is hibiscus tea.
Well, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about drinks. So I won't be visiting the restaurant. It's a no for me, dog.
I mean, I showed up ready to eat, already drunk.
Right. from the house or somewhere else? Never mind. No, we don't have. You know what, man? You bring it up and then you get mad at me. It seems like you're being secretive about it, so I won't say nothing. I was just asking about the restaurant.
Yeah, they don't do alcoholic drinks.
Okay. Well, I won't be going. I need to have a cold beer with my meal. There's no two ways about that. So you know who Beetlejuice is, right? The little black dude?
Yeah.
All right. Check this out. I might have shared this on the show before, actually, but it's funny.
Me? No, I quit drinking, dude.
Never gonna drink again?
Nope.
You wanna stop at the bar by the Chinese restaurant? Just get a quick shot, me and you, and then we'll go.
What, Chinese place, you mean?
Yeah, the bar they got in the back.
The Chinese bar?
Yeah, we'll get a shot. We'll stop and get a shot right now. And a beer.
Okay. Me? No, I quit.
That little dude, man. Oh, fuck. Speaking of drinking, thought I'd play that since I had it readily available. And then I found this other clip on... Somebody said they found it on Tinder. You know what Tinder is, Julio?
No, tell me about it.
I don't know. I figure you knew more about it than me. It's a dating site, right?
Okay.
Is it for queers or normal people?
I think it's all around.
Oh, really? What's the one for gays? And don't say Grindr. You don't know. What?
Grindr.
All right. Okay, so this one's off of Tinder then. So he's looking for dates, and I don't want to spoil it, but you might not get it if you haven't seen Silence of the Lambs.
Hi, my name's Bill. I'm 33. I like curvy girls. I have a dog. Her name is Precious. She's my world. My hobbies include midnight strolls, collecting insects, kind of nerdy, I know, but it's what I'm into, or making my own clothing and dancing when nobody's looking. Dry skin is a deal breaker. And Love Bath and Body Works for the sole reason that their lotion comes in a basket. And finally, I date me. Hi, my name's Bill.
Finally, I date me.
Hey, he had me on the Bath and Body Works lotions. And then he said he would date himself, and that's when I lost it.
Do you think, did somebody make that with some kind of AI? It looked real as fuck, dude.
The lips didn't really match, though.
Okay. Looked real.
And then the voice didn't really sound like the guy.
Right. You could tell when he said, I'd date me, because he would have been like, I'd date me.
I mean, I agree with him. Dry skin is a deal breaker. I mean, you ever been like, you know, plowing from behind and you see the girl's feet and they're like really dry and crusty? I can't like keep the socks on.
It's not a deal breaker.
You don't care.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you don't care. You want them crusty as fuck.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd say that.
You want fucking sandpaper. The grittiest.
No, I'm not going to say all that.
Alex Jones.
Yeah.
And his daughter.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen it, but it's kind of interesting. Hold on, let me pop it up. He says, I have never even suggested to my 7-year-old daughter that she follow in my footsteps as a talk show host. But in the last week, she has told me that she wants to be like daddy. Today she said, Dad, film me talking about this jukebox. So I did. This is completely off the cuff. So let's see what she says. I'm curious.
You got to turn it up.
Larger, bigger, and from a long time ago. So first, we're going to talk about the money. 25 cents, 10 cents, and Jen Audrey Rosemary. On the clock, Bill Haley.
Wow, good job. And that's your review of an old-fashioned 1950s jukebox.
Old-fashioned 1950s jukebox. But smash like and subscribe because we want to get 10,000 likes by the end of 2024.
At Real Alex Jones, good job.
I couldn't really hear the kid, but I could hear when Alex Jones started talking, you could hear him really good. So it wasn't your fault. It was his fault, you know.
Yeah, you should have recorded the daughter a little bit louder.
Yeah.
You know, maybe closer to the mic.
But I don't know. I thought it was cool, you know, like father-daughter moment.
Right.
Those are the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like today we were driving. And Lily was taking pictures. Like, I don't know. You don't have teenage daughters, but
yeah,
like they
do
Snapchat, and they fucking take pictures of me.
Yeah,
they take pictures of other dads and like make fun of them. You know, like add like a funny filter.
Yeah.
So they're fucking doing this all day to me. And so I caught the. She's texting one of our listeners' son. Cool kid. One of my best friends, his dad is, and the dude was like shirtless, and I was like, I'm concerned. No wonder you're talking to him. I can't believe he's sending you shirtless pictures. And so we laughed it off. So I got home and I messaged his dad. I'm like, hey, so I caught you know, like your son sending shirtless pictures to my daughter, and I think you should give him a little bit of crap. You know, and so he did. He said he told him, like, he's like, I just got a call from an angry parent saying you're sending their daughters titty pics.
Man boobs.
Well, he's working out and everything. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kids being kids, but it was really funny that I was trolling my daughter here and he was trolling his son. you know, at his house.
Right.
Because then he texts to her, like, why is my dad yelling at me about sending girls titty pics? Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Carl. Thanks, Lily. Man, thank God we didn't have Snapchat back in our days.
Right.
I don't know. It would have been like the demise of a lot of us.
Oh, it's already starting, man.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Have you ever heard of, let me read this, Denitra D. Senegar?
Mm-hmm. The hell's that? Sounds like an Indian food.
No, that's an alias for Hillary Clinton. So you heard about the emails where she was trying to find the tomb of Gilgamesh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it wasn't under her name. I don't know who discovered it, that she had this alias. But you can look it up right now. You can look it up. I've got the documents. You can look it up. If you type in, it's Denetrad Senegar. Senigar. And I looked it up and I read it. I read through the whole shit. There's more than one article. But, and I don't remember, like, who exposed it or anything like that, but that's how they get away with this shit, man. Because it's all, like, it's never, I mean, some of it is out in the open, but some of it isn't. Are you looking at that?
No, I'm not. I was actually responding to a text, but right. I agree. They hide under aliases and shit.
Yeah. Have you heard about this? Knowing you might get pissed off here now.
Oh, man.
Supposedly that, no, it's not Jews. The Ark of the Covenant is supposedly in Axum, Ethiopia right now. Have you ever heard
at
that
a church?
One? Yeah.
That's guarded by... by like a priest that can't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about, I swear to God, we talked about this in a past episode.
I'm sure we did.
It's in Ethiopia and it's guarded. So like they select one priest, like they have a guard guarding the whole structure, but then they have one guy that is allowed in the building to take care of the ark. And if you get assigned that position, it's for life.
Yeah, it's like Indiana Jones shit.
Yeah, and the thing is it's not just for life, like that you're just secluded there. But the thing is, you're going to die from radiation poisoning.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a double whammy. So you're trapped in that building for the rest of your life with no social contact. And you will die from radiation poisoning, cancer.
You may or may not die because they've got several different Christian churches in Ethiopia. And there's so many replicas, nobody's allowed to know which one's the real one. You know, I mean, they got, here, look. All right, the Ark of the Covenant is claimed to be housed in the Church of Our Lady Mary of Zion in Axum, Ethiopia. According to tradition, this church contains the original Ark of the Covenant, which is said to have been brought to Ethiopia by Menelik, the son of the Queen of Sheba and King Solomon. The Ark is kept in a chapel called the Chapel of the Tablet, where it is guarded by a monk who is appointed for life and confined to the chapel for the rest of his life, praying before it and offering incense. All right, and then it goes on to say, however, the claim that the Church of Our Lady Mary of Zion contains the original Ark of the Covenant is disputed. This guy was a scholar who saw the supposed Ark during the World War II, described it as a middle to late medieval construction and not the original Ark. This view is supported by other scholars who argue that what is kept in the chapel is a replica rather than the original Ark. Okay, now this is a different article I'm looking at, and I'd be fucking hard-pressed to find the same one that I was reading. But like I said, all these different churches in Ethiopia all have an Ark in it. And it's not a secret, but nobody knows which one is the real Ark, and they do that on purpose, so nobody comes after it, right? I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I had read about that. I had looked into it, and I saw that church, and it's a very, like, it's not like a Hagia Sophia or a Taj Mahal. It's a very unassuming structure. Like, it's nothing special about it.
Right. Like I said, we don't know which church the real Ark is in, you know? It's,
I mean, but, okay, so if God is all-powerful and I don't even know how to say the word at the moment.
Omnipresent.
Why would he need an Ark of the Covenant?
I mean, free will, man. You know? What do you mean, why would he need it?
Yeah, if he wants to get shit done, he doesn't need an Ark of the Covenant. He doesn't need a thing here to fucking get shit done. He could just fucking, you know, like spray, you know, like fairy dust and have it like just happen.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think the purpose of the Ark of the Covenant is then?
I think it's a way for humans to feel more godlike and powerful, that they have something connected to divinity that gave them some sort of power. You know, like when we created the atomic bomb, you know, like there was that saying that Oppenheimer said, you know, I am the destroyer of worlds or something like that. Like, I think that is one of those kind of things. You feel powerful because you can do shit with this thing.
Doesn't it supposedly contain like the original Ten Commandment tablets and all that shit?
And what, they're radioactive?
Well, I mean, supposedly to us. But back then, people were living until they were 900. So I think we have a different chemical makeup now. I don't know.
Hey, so speaking of chemical makeup, so have you ever heard of people with like sloped foreheads? Like if you and I did a side profile, we would have not a 90-degree angle like on our forehead, you know, but like it's kind of congruent with our noses and our chins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ever see some people that have like very sloped foreheads and like, so the theory is that they don't have that part of the brain that allows you to connect to other people. A frontal cortex brain or something. Frontal cortex. That's what it is.
If the doctors already know the name of the brain, don't you think they would have already found that it was missing in like a corpse or something?
Well, it's not that it's missing, it's just underdeveloped. And if you look at a lot of people that are prone to violence, they don't have that frontal cortex.
Oh.
Yeah, so they have no empathy. They don't care about...
You mean like a Neanderthal?
Yeah, of different colors. These are the people that are pushing people in front of the subway train. People setting, you know, people on fire on the subway.
Well, you know, I'm part Neanderthal, right? It came up in my 23andMe or whatever. Mostly yeah, Irish with a little Neanderthal mixed in.
But I'm serious. Like, look into it. Like, I don't have any examples. I'm not going to provide any examples. But look up what I'm talking about and see the pictures that they present and connect the dots. I think that there are some people, some species of us, that really do not give a fuck about violence, that don't care about, you know, like the suffering of others. It's all about them and taking care of themselves. And you will notice the slope on their forehead. Kind of like Indian people. Look at the back of their fucking heads.
What about it?
It's fucking flat. Touch the back of your head. You have a curve.
Oh, yeah.
These fucking towel heads laying on their back because their mommy and daddy didn't take care of them. Don't develop the proper brain, and it's fucking flat in the back. That's where they're fucking cooking using their feet, fucking rubbing the ingredients in their armpits and then putting it on your plate.
Yeah. The general sent me some of those clips.
The general belongs in America. America needs the general.
He's coming pretty soon. Only for a short while, though.
Yeah, that's the invasion we need. The general invading America.
All right. All right, I got another clip. This one is... this one... Tony shared this on Instagram, the Rack 603. And I told him I was going to share it on the show. It's about Hitler.
So Hitler comes in, and the country's like a war zone. The currency is worthless. The economy's destroyed. Degeneracy is rampant. There's transgender stuff, licentiousness, prostitution.
There's transgender stuff back then?
Yeah. That's why they were burning books.
Wow.
Those were the books they were burning.
Wow.
Yeah, it's Mansfield or Hirschfeld who had this, like, research center, and they were the pioneers in transgenderism, in early transgender surgeries, homosexuality, all that stuff. Like, it was all coming from Berlin. And that's what the book burnings were about. They were burning all these research books about transgender stuff because it was, like, morally repugnant. It's the same stuff that's going on today. Everybody says the book burnings, they were burning knowledge. That wasn't knowledge. That was perversion. That'd be like if they started burning pornography. Nobody would say that burning pornography is some sick, tyrannical, like backwards. They don't want people to be educated. They would say that's filth. People blame what's happening in America today on the cultural Marxists. That's real. The cultural Marxists were all Jews that came from Berlin that were driven out by Hitler. So when people look at the legacy of postmodernism, cultural Marxism in America today, it all came from Columbia, who originally came from Frankfurt in Germany. So Hitler comes.
All right. Thanks, Tony.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I don't know if I compared. Okay, so he said they were burning books about trannies and gays. And he said that's what's happening today. I think that's the opposite of what's happening today. They're trying to push the tranny shit today, and they're trying to get rid of, like, conservative values and shit like that, you know, like, some of the, like, anybody that fucking stood up for what they believed in. You know, some of the generals are tearing their statues down. Even the fucking, some of the presidents. And it's like, I think I kind of view that as the opposite thing, but I get what he's saying, you know. And that disco music was a little bit harsh towards the end. I thought he was going to start fucking dancing or something.
You just wanted it to be the village people. But no, I think what he was alluding to is not that we're burning tranny books or anything like that nowadays. Is that we're facing the same push in terms of agendas. You know, trying to normalize that sort of thing. You know, the surgeries, transing our children. And we have to stand up and fight for it. Back then, they were doing that by burning those books. Now we're doing it by standing up against social media. You know,
mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Fucking tranny reading hour at the library.
Right.
You know, shit like that. It's a different ballgame, but it's still the same thing. And it's being pushed by the same people that the Nazis were fighting, which I'm not going to name, but it's the same shit.
Okay. Well, speaking of the Jewish persuasion here.
Hey, I still need to borrow $15 from you so I can get that tool.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Everybody, the first thing everybody that I sent that picture to, the first thing they pointed out is like, oh, you need that dreidel or whatever the fuck it's called.
I don't really know what that is.
Neither do I. Is it like a dice? Is it like a money stealing thing that they use to steal money from other people?
I mean, what is the, when they advertise it at Harbor Freight, what is the supposed purpose of it?
Dude, that was a fake ad.
Oh, was
there
it?
Was a, yeah, there's a hand powered chainsaw.
Oh, okay.
There's an all sorts of gauge. there was a electronic probe thing that has a gaydar. It also works as a corn on the cob holder.
Oh God, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, you did not. But it was really funny. Like three to five people pointed out the first fucking tool that I should get. And I was really bummed out about it.
All right. So have you heard of the eternal flame in Jewish religion?
No.
There is. All right. Let me bring it up. All right. I just typed in eternal flame of the Jews and it came up. Which is kind of funny. All right, it says the eternal flame in Judaism. Am I saying that wrong? Judaism? Or is it Judaism? A throws me off. We're going to say Judaism. It's known as the Ner Tamid, which translates to eternal light in Hebrew. This lamp burns perpetually in Jewish synagogues, usually hanging in front of the Aaron Kadesh Holy Ark, and serves as a reminder of the holiness of the Torah scrolls stored within the Ark. It also symbolizes God's abiding presence and his providential care. The tradition of Ner Tamid is rooted in the commandment from Exodus 2720-21, which prescribes a continuous flame to be burnt before the Lord. Additionally, the Ner Tamid represents a remembrance of the temple in Jerusalem and can sometimes be an actual flame kept lit 24/7, although in many modern synagogues, it is often an electric light that remains on continuously. And that also goes on during Hanukkah, you know, because you're not supposed to, on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to ignite a flame or anything like that. So they had to come up with ways to keep it going. How, what is it, 7 days for Hanukkah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, 7 days is nothing compared to figuring out a way to deceive God 365 days a year to make money like they do in New York City, putting around a fucking little string all over fucking Manhattan to allow them to do business on the Sabbath. So I get it. It doesn't shock me.
It reminds me.
They do everything they can to deceive God. They think, oh, if I make up a fucking rule, you know, like I'll put all my sins to this fucking chicken, you know, that God won't notice that.
You remember the song Eternal Flame by the Bangles?
Yeah, it sounds like something Carl would listen to.
Okay. The lead singer of the Bangles, Suzanne Hoffs. Remember her?
No.
She was a good looking little, just try to guess what religion she is.
What was her name?
Suzanne Hoffs.
What does her nose look like?
No, she doesn't have a Jewish nose at all.
I didn't ask that.
I don't know what I can't explain her nose. I would say it's a good looking female nose. I really never paid attention to that. I always thought she was good looking. She looks, she almost looks Palestinian. She's kind of dark skinned to me. Not too much, but maybe a little.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
You looking at her?
Yeah, I don't think I can really find her.
What do you mean? Suzanne Hoffs. Hoffs. You're not on Google, are you? Are you on Google?
Dude, I'm just trying to, like, find her. Oh, don't, yeah, she is good looking.
You're right.
Damn. Yeah, now, I like her.
Now type in what ask what religion is she?
I don't want to. Don't ruin it for me.
She's good. I mean, I was looking at it. Of course, I had to look and see, like, what she looked like now. She's still pretty good looking. But she's married to, she's a Jew. She's married to a major Jew. I don't know what a major Jew is, but when I
was gonna ask.
Oh, fuck it.
A major Jew.
Well, you know he's got money. Very pretty. You know he's got money. Yeah. So I'm sure she wrote that song, and I don't know what the, I don't know what the, if there was any kind of backdoor thing there.
But action.
Yeah. A
little backdoor action going on.
I'm looking, I'm still reading about this.
Yeah, she's got very beautiful, like, Palestinian looking eyes.
Isn't maybe that what I said? She looks like a Palestinian.
Yeah. Her olive skin.
Yeah, right.
Man.
It's nice looking. Wow.
Yeah. See, that's what they call me, Mr. Worldwide.
Somebody.
Like Pitbull.
Looks like Tony sent another. All right, so we just got out of the holiday season. Some people are still celebrating it. Not everybody's taking all their shit down yet. Did we talk about the Elf on the Shelf?
No.
All right, so I should have saved this clip. Or maybe I was just talking to somebody. I can't remember where I thought we got into this. I got into this with somebody, and he was like, oh, the Elf on the Shelf, that's just a way to get kids used to surveillance. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, look, this little Elf on the Shelf is constantly watching everything you do. You're not allowed to touch it. You're not allowed to play with the little creep. He's just fucking sitting there, and sometimes he changes spots and just shows up in different areas. Isn't that kind of a creepy thing that somehow they fucking parents just get dragged into this bullshit, you know? And I did. I'm guilty of it myself. I don't know. It really is a creepy looking little elf, man. If you really look at it.
Why can't we go to work at this like nefarious parent association that like comes up with these tricks?
Oh, I don't think.
I'm pretty sure we could. I think we could come up with some pretty awesome ones.
What kind
of? Where do I apply? Like, where do I apply for this job?
Probably with the feds, but you already tried that and left. You didn't like it.
Hey, I can go back. I'm a free citizen, unbound, unchained in May. No, March.
Oh, why? What's the reason for that?
6 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why, you thinking about it?
No, I'm gonna go fucking make some money.
What do you mean?
All right, so check this out. I get text messages from one of my coworkers from there if I wanted to work a private event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, like
security.
As security, yes. Okay. Dealing bullets. And it would pay, like, I'm not gonna say how much it pays, but my friend worked it just a couple hours and he walked away with like almost $500.
That ain't bad. $250 an hour.
Yeah. And he said there was tons of food, like executive, like top tier food. Like there was a private chef at the event. He says there were naked girls, open bar for everybody. He's like, he stayed like for like 7 hours. He only worked like 2 hours, but he stayed for 7 hours.
Hey, that sounds like some elite type of shit.
Yeah.
I'd be very interested in the open bar though. I'd fucking, rub elbows with some elites for an open bar.
Yeah, I would dance in front of a fucking giant owl statue and sacrifice your ass to Moloch. Take a little sip of adrenochrome.
All right. When you hear the word Arkansas, who does it remind you of?
Nobody.
Nobody?
Nobody.
Am I fucking losing my mind? What about Bill Clinton?
Okay.
He's from Arkansas, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Am I losing it? Let me Google this. All right, we're back. Had to take a much needed piss break and grab a couple of beers. All right. Remember what we were talking about?
Nope.
Arkansas. But before we get into that, all right, so as you know, I drink Natty Light. Thank God that I must have been the last person to use the bathroom before we started recording. And then I went up there to take a piss. As you know, sometimes when you drink Natty Light, you take like a 45 degree shit towards the back of the bowl. There was some, oh man, I had to urinate. I had to use my forceful urination to clean the back of the toilet before somebody got on me about it. Oh, yeah, that's a little
I don't
sick.
Understand how that happens, dude.
What do you mean?
Like the shit defies the gravity, and like instead of just going down with gravity, it goes perpendicular.
Because it comes out with such force. I for some reason I think that's the way the intestinal tract is naturally shaped if it's coming out as a liquid forcefully.
Dude, do you ever take a shit after drinking a lot of beer and you can smell the hops?
Like, I don't know.
Like the malted barley and hops.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Oh, man.
No?
We should probably move on.
The juniper.
But back to Arkansas. Right? So you've heard of the Mandela effect, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me being educated in Akron. How do you spell Arkansas?
A R K A N S A S Arkansas.
Okay, because I always thought it was Arkansas, like S-A-W.
No, I never thought of that.
All right, so it's not a Mandela effect. It's just poor education.
Yeah, no, I spelled it right. A-R-K-A-N-S-A-S.
Right. I'm looking at it right now, but I'm like, how the fuck am I 50 years old? I mean, I guess people don't talk about Arkansas very much, but I was looking some shit up, and I'm like, wait. The fuck does it say Arkansas? Right?
It was too sassy for you.
Yeah. Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, born William Jefferson Blythe III, was the 42nd president of the United States and served as the governor of Arkansas twice. He was born in Hope, Arkansas, and took the name Clinton after his stepfather. Okay. Wonder what happened to his real dad.
MK Ultra.
Clinton received a bachelor's degree in international affairs from Georgetown University and attended Oxford University as a Rhodes Scholar. We talked about Cecil Rhodes. Or is it Cecil? I always called him Cecil because it sounded more gay. He joined the staff of the University of Arkansas School of Law after graduating from Yale Law School. So he was probably in Skull and Bones.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Clinton was elected Arkansas Attorney General in 1976 and became the state's youngest governor in 1978. He served as the governor until 1980, lost a bid for re-election, but regained the office in 1982 and held it until 1992 when he was elected president of the United States. What year did he get married to Satan?
She was good looking in back in the day.
She was. Of course she was. All the politicians were. Shit, look, fucking. You're infatuated with Nancy Pelosi. She's like fucking 90.
Still looks good.
AOC's all right. She'll be eligible this next time around. She's not old enough to be president yet. So that'll probably be who they'll be pushing. Watch. I'll vote for her.
I'll vote for Valentina Gomez. Did you ever see the video I was telling you about?
Not if it was a YouTube video.
No, it's been on Twitter and Instagram. She's a Latin American politician.
No, you've showed me her videos before where she was like shooting and shit.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you showed it on the show.
Yeah, she says if an illegal immigrant kills or burns somebody, a citizen, why spend money in court? Why waste anything more than a singular bullet to the head?
I mean, I could say that about anybody.
Yeah. Murderer, rapist. I don't give a fuck if you're a citizen.
You know how much it costs for these motherfuckers to sit on death row?
Yeah, exactly.
Like 60 grand a fucking year. That's more than most people make.
Yeah. Here I am fucking waking up every day going to work and making less than that.
Right.
When I could just fucking go murder or rape somebody and then just fucking live $60,000 a year.
Right. I don't. It's not just the people on death row either. I told you I got into it with my son. We talked about that last week, and he's been in and out of prison for a while now, and I said, you know, why don't you want to go to work every day? And I said something about welfare. He's like, well, I ain't never been on welfare. I'm like, what the fuck you think prison is? I never ate so much when I was fucking locked up. You got a place to fucking sleep. You get 3 square meals a day. Who the fuck you think pays for that? Me. You know? And I'm not going to fucking get on my fucking pedestal here and start bitching again. Let's change the subject.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, something I recently listened to was that focusing on little shit like that actually like drags you down.
You mean like tax dollars?
No, like things you cannot change.
Right. I know, man. That's what I said. I said he's grown up. It ain't, you know, I'm not. It pisses me off when I think about it, but you know, whatever. Ain't shit I can do.
Yeah, like, why am I fighting with my wife in my house about somebody that doesn't even live in our house? You know, like, it's not even worth it being an issue. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like what? Sounds like you want to get something off your chest. I keep hearing my voice. I keep turning my head away from this mic. I must be sitting differently or something.
No, nothing I really want to get off my chest. I've actually been able to process it pretty well, and I'm actually letting go of it. But, I mean, yeah, there's things that are going to happen, and they're going to throw your life, you know, like a wrench. But why am I fighting with somebody that I sleep next to over something that deals with somebody that doesn't even live with me? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Like, Yeah. Like, don't waste your time on fighting for people that don't live with you.
I mean,
you know, like,
you could say that, but like, there was a time when me and my wife's brother were fucking, I did not like that motherfucker. And I don't want to really get in, I don't want to get into any of his business, but him and his wife went through some shit. And, well, they're divorced now. And it's the reason they're divorced is because of this other dude. I don't really want to get into it. But he didn't handle it the way I thought he should have handled it. You know, and it fucking drove me fucking nuts, dude. And I couldn't, and she would cry every time I brought it up. Like, I would say, and so I couldn't say anything for like 2 or 3 years. And then one day I just said, look, the only reason I haven't beat the shit out of you is because of your sister. So you better be more respectful. And it just fucked things up for another 3 or 4 years. We're good now. But like he told his mom, my mother-in-law is the coolest. He told his mom, like, I don't want to go over there. Cause everybody comes to our house because we got room, you know. And he's like, I don't want to go over there anymore. I don't feel comfortable around him. And so she told my wife that he said that. And my wife was afraid she was going to be pissed. And my wife's like, hey, that's okay. Brother's going to fight, you know. We'll still come over, and he can do whatever he wants to do, you know. So we got it all worked out. I probably shouldn't even be talking about this on here, but I don't even know how the fuck we started talking about that. Oh yeah, you said you were talking about your issues with somebody that doesn't live in the house, which reminded me of that. Was this another? Is this another Julio therapy session?
It could be. I had a good one. Had a good therapy session 2 days ago. Yeah. On Wednesday, my day off.
Uh-huh.
So I went to my sober meeting, and that was really good. It was really, really good. It was good to connect with people, you know, that have actually spent the effort and time and work into trying to be sober. And so that was cool. And then I hung out with my boss. And
is that the gay dude?
No, another person.
Another gay person?
Kinda, yeah. And we just had a great talk, you know, and we touched on great subjects, and you know, like. He said, you know, I think you're a different person than you were 2 years ago. It was just very deep and meaningful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So these meetings, are they like, it's stupid for me to even ask because I was going to say, is it for like drinking or drugs? But even if it is a drug meeting, you can't drink. Or else that's going to encourage you to do the drug. At least that's what they teach you in the 12-step program, which was founded in Akron, by the way. I don't know if we ever talked about that.
Yeah, by Dr. Bill.
Dr. Bill, who's the other one? Or no. Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've been on probation before. That's right. I know about this shit.
No, they are come as you are kind of meetings.
Right.
There's really no expectations. The fact that it is where it is, it's in Bedford, Michigan.
Yeah.
So it's in a decent part of town, I would say. And there's no bus routes or anything. So really the people that come there really want to be there. And it's at a church, but it has despite the fact that all, I think all, a lot of recovery programs have like a religious tone to them.
Yeah.
This one has one, but at the same time, dude, like I can tell you that it's really come as you are. I went to an event there and they were kind of telling a story that somebody said, somebody actually came and actually went into recovery and they showed up high on cocaine. And they're like, so you got high on cocaine and you're here.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're choosing to be here despite the fact that you just did cocaine. And I mean, it's funny, but there's some truth to that. Like, the other thing I heard in that on that day was the fact that you're still broken, you're still messed up, your life is in shambles, and you're still struggling. The fact that you're here already says that your addiction is losing the war, is losing the fight. And I think that there is some more to that because a lot of people say, you know, or treat you like, they treat you like shit when you're trying to recover and make some efforts. They'll praise you when you recover. They'll praise you when you're clean for a long time. But they won't, like, give you credit for fucking waking up every day, struggling through it, and maybe surviving that day. But then the next day you mess up, you recognize, and then you wake up the next day and try again. Like, you're considered a loser if you do that.
No.
Like,
I don't think they all think that, you know?
But like the other thing is like, we don't praise people that choose to be sober. We give more credit and recognition to the person that is in recovery. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's the person that maybe lost everything. They lost their family. They lost their kids. They lost their business, etc. We praise those peoples that lost things, but we don't praise the people that were aware of their pitfalls,
yeah,
and chose to keep those things.
You mean the ones that can hold it together?
Yeah. Like the people that choose to be sober to say, hey, I don't drink.
It's kind of like the welfare program, right? You got motherfuckers that are working their ass off, making shit. They could be making, look how much food stamps these people get, dude.
Yeah.
They turn around and sell half of the shit because they're eating so fucking good. And you got somebody else making minimum wage and fucking struggling to feed their kids, but they're still doing it. It's the same deal to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of different kinds of struggles, man. But
yeah,
I get what you're saying.
But it's really cool because you know, like there's that meme where, like, you know how alcoholics look at other drug addicts, you know, and the alcoholics are like sitting up on a balcony.
Oh,
looking,
yeah,
down and all the other ones.
I forget what movie that's from. The way alcoholics look at drug addicts.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, I consider myself like different than a lot of those people, but honestly, I'm just the same.
Right.
I am just like fucking them. I just don't think of myself like that. And I don't know. I see a lot of good. I see a lot of future potential in this thing. And I'm not gonna go out there and try to like change anybody, but I think like even with the people I met the day after that meeting, one of my gay friends, he's not into religion or anything.
Yeah.
But he even after that, he's like, I like the fact that you always talk about things that I don't agree with, but you give me a different perspective on.
Right.
And
now those groups, they know what they're doing. Like I said, back home, there was a shitload of AA and there's a shitload of people on fucking probation. A lot of crime in the streets and stuff like that. And so there was this one hospital in the hood And they would, and they knew that when you were on probation, you had to do 2 AA meetings a week. So they would let you come drop your paper off at 9 and come pick it back up at 11. A lot of people just went to the bar. And yes, yeah, the bars in that neighborhood were open at fucking like 6 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, all them bars were open. But with that being said, I'll leave you with this. I'll leave you with this. And it's a joke. Okay. But AA is for quitters. Oh, Julio's smoking that shit. Can't even talk.
I mean, I've checked out AANNA.
I'm just joking around, dude. We used to tell each other that when we were on probation.
And they're good programs.
No, I'm just fucking around. I'm fucking around.
But, and I know that they're you know, like, faith-based. But honestly, like, I don't know, man. Like, I know you and I have talked about this on our own, you know, like in private, about me trying to like figure this shit out and, you know, like maybe finding religion again. I mean, I think that they go hand in hand.
Yeah, but it's not. I remember in AA, they talk a lot about the Gnostics and shit, which is a lot of the shit that we talk about. I know you say you're Catholic and everything, but it doesn't really matter what you believe in, as long as you believe in something. It's kind of like the Freemasons. Right. That's what they preach. As long as you believe in something.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it holds you to be somebody better.
Right.
Who cares? But I don't know. I'm seeing like coincidences that are not coincidences. They have to be like, it can't just be a coincidence, because this was something I wanted in my life, and it kind of happened on its own, despite the fact that I'm fucking falling apart. It's still happening. Those things to me seem like miraculous, and I've had a couple of those. And sometimes I waste them away, but I think sometimes they do stand out. I actually have one I have not shared with you.
All right. What do you mean? Are you saying like a divine intervention?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Explain.
We off the air?
No. We've been recording this whole time. What are you talking about?
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm just going to leave it as I'm getting my car fixed.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not because I'm an amazing human being. I think it's because God placed me in the right spot with the right people around me in the right setting after I put in some effort, and I'm getting what I asked. I don't know.
Yeah, and that shit happens to me all the time, dude. It just fucking drops them in your lap. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, I got one last thing here. It's it's not really, it is a, you know what, this fucking mic is pissing me off. Can you tell that I keep getting out of the voice range or whatever?
Your voice always sounds good.
Yeah, but I can tell, like, when I get away. I don't know why, what's going on here. But anyway, all right, it says here, Jesus Christ was born September 11th, 3 BC, the day of the Feast of Trumpets. All right, you want me to? All right. This is off of a clip that I got off of Instagram. Tradition has made December 25th the birthday of Jesus, but the Bible clearly reveals he was not born on that day. It was not until the 4th century after Christ that December 25th began to be celebrated as the day of Christ's birth. It was the old pagan holiday celebrating the winter solstice and the birth of the sun god, Amun-Ra, and celebrated when the days began to get longer. In Rome, it was the festival called Saturnalia, and later the Roman Empire baptized it and began to celebrate it as the birth of Jesus. All biblical scholars know that Jesus was not born on December 25th. The Greek word for wonder in verse 1 means sign. And God's word declares that there would be a sign in the heavens when Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ. The sign of the zodiacs were originally not used in astrology, but each signified a characteristic of Jesus Christ's life, ministry, and kingship. The sign of the woman in the Bible is the constellation Virgo. And Revelation 12 states that she was clothed with the sun, another celestial body. In 3 BC, the sun and moon in Virgo occurred on September 11th, the day Jesus was born. This coincided with Tishri 1 on the Jewish calendar, the first day of the festival of the Feast of Trumpets. All right, there's only one more paragraph. I don't know how important this shit is. Another significant astronomical display on September 11th, 3 BC, was the close conjunction of Jupiter and Regulus before dawn. Jupiter and Venus were positioned within the constellation of Leo, the sign of Judah, from whose seed the Messiah, the promised seed, came. The new moon occurred on September 11th, representing the Jewish New Year, and Jupiter made its crowning effect over the King Star Regulus over an 8-month period. I don't know if that's right, but they sure sound pretty fucking confident that they know what they're talking about. Sounds like astrology and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to stay away from astrology and numerology and all that shit.
I hate numerology. I'm not. Yeah, I mean, you can fuck around with numbers and come up with anything you want.
Yeah.
But what's the other one? What's it called? I can't remember the name of it. But supposedly in Hebrew, all the letters relate to numbers. And so you can make like numeric codes and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the name of that.
Yeah, I can't remember that either. But
gematria. Gematria.
Just want to give a warning to all the guys out there. If you notice tattoos on a girl with numbers or some shit like that, fucking walk away. Bad news.
What are you saying? I don't get it.
Girls into numerology and astrology are bad news. Oh. They're fucking witches.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of guy that'll text a numerology girl at 11:11 just to make her think I'm cool.
Now, obviously I've been with a lot of chicks with tattoos, but I mean,
you got the spider web on the butthole? You ever get that one?
No. I don't really get into buttholes, so I don't I wouldn't see that. So was that a male or a female, Julio?
They them.
Hey, back in fucking early 2000s, man, when cell phones first came out, there was one of these, I guess you would call it a meme, one of the fucking pictures that you can send them over the flip phones and shit. what do you even call that? A meme? I can't remember. A video message or a picture message, right? And it was a chick who had a tattoo on her asshole, and above it, it said Fun Center. Stay away from that bitch.
I was biting my finger today, and I made it bleed.
Yeah.
And my daughter was in the car, and she's like, gross. And I'm like, what? She's like, it's bloody. And I'm like, it's been bloodier, and I wasn't even bleeding. It took her until she got home to get it.
Man. Come on. All right, let's end it. All right. You got anything else?
Yeah, so when she finally got it, I was laying on the bed. So I said I was going to get up with my Red Wings and fly away. She still hasn't gotten it.
Julio, don't joke with your fucking kid about that type of shit. She's going to be as fucked up as you are.
Dude, they're fucked up. She told her friend, like, you know, I'm glad your dad didn't leave you in a sock. And her friend said, well, I'm glad your mom didn't swallow you. So then I said, I told Fox, I'm glad his dad didn't wipe him off his mom's back because he's a pretty good friend. Dude, they're bad.
All right. Any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints? ConspiracySoldiers@yahoo.com. You know what? I got to write that fucking number down. All right. Or give us a call at 313-583-7646. Julio, you want to do your jingle?
1313-583-7646.
Or Conspiracy Soldiers on Instagram. We're on YouTube. All that shit.
Or Conspiracy Soldiers Garlic Parm.
Garlic Parm on Instagram.
Yep.
That's about it. So I'm not going to put this out tonight. This will be going out Saturday night after I get back from Akron. All right. Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.
Are those live rounds? .762 millimeter. Full metal jacket.
My name is Gunnery Sergeant Highway, and I've drunk more beer and pissed more blood, banged more quick, busted more. All you numbnuts put together. Now Major Powers has put me in charge of this recon platoon.
We take care of ourselves.
You couldn't take care of a wet dream.
Y'all know about killing?
Well, I'd like to hear about it, potheads. So escape from reality. Yeah, I don't need this shit. I am reality.
Now, I got no fight. But any man does what he's told. And when he don't, the machine breaks down.
And when the machine breaks down, we break down.